desire your prayers that the Lord will bless his word. I have a burden. And the title of our thought this morning is The Spirit of Man. But before we can speak about the spirit of man, I feel that the Lord wants us to speak about the Holy Spirit, the work of the Holy Spirit and the office of the Holy Spirit. We are all familiar with the fact that the Holy Spirit is the third part of the Trinity. It is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. So this third person of the Trinity is a spirit being, and it proceeds from God and from Christ. It is the working part of the Trinity. It is the functioning, producing part that it functions at the command of God or Christ. It performs those things that are ordered of God upon mankind in the earth. It orders, the order is to perform all things according to God's will. The Holy Spirit is also an enlivening spirit. I'm going to give you some just adjectives that we can understand the work of the Holy Spirit. It also, it inspires men's lives. When you and I say, I feel inspired by God, we're saying, in essence, we're saying, I am inspired by the Holy Spirit. One definition said it was it animates good men that responds to the Holy Spirit. It causes them to act according to the will of God through the Holy Spirit. One of the works of the Holy Spirit is that it enlightens. It enlightens you and me that we may have light and understanding. It gives grace. It gives comfort. It gives conviction. It is the mover of men's hearts. The Holy Ghost also stirs up our emotions in the hearts of believers. In other words, it causes you and me to respond in positive ways. It tries to, and we can respond in positive ways. It also is a quickening spirit, and it's an enlivening spirit. He is the sanctifier. He is the worker of holiness in all the redeemed. And the work of the Holy Spirit is also a tender spirit. Man, you and I, we need to be fully acquainted with the Holy Spirit. We need to study the scriptures and acquaint ourselves with the Holy Spirit. We need to understand its functions. We need to understand its power, its abilities. The Holy Spirit is a discerning spirit. It is a spirit that discovers things of you and me. So the scripture we want to start with is in Hebrews 4, verses 12 and 13. And it says, for the word of God is quick and powerful. And those two words are defined in the column, in the reference, as living and active. It is sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing of the soul and the spirit. One definition said that it is making a distinction between the soul and the spirit, and of the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner or a judge of the thoughts and the intentions of our heart. Now, when we looked at that word, discerner of the thoughts and intentions of the heart, it means it knows our impulses, our secret thoughts, our ponderings, our meditations, our motives, our purposes, our inmost thoughts. So there isn't anything about you and me that God does not know, and the Holy Spirit is a discerner of those thoughts. Verse 13 says, neither is there any creature that is not manifested in his sight, but all things are naked and open or completely exposed unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. And the reference on that one was that we will answer or give an account to the one that that will know all things and understand all things. I have a scripture also, just a portion of a scripture in Ephesians, the 4th chapter, verse 30. It says, simply says in the beginning of that, grieve not the Holy Spirit. So in light of the previous scripture that we have just read in your hearing, all that is completely exposed to the eyes of God, the appeal then is for us to be honest with our own soul and honest with God and honest with our fellow man. And so our response to the Holy Spirit determines our spirit. The way that we respond to the work of the Holy Spirit, yielding ourselves as instruments of righteousness, the scripture says, through the divine leadership, embracing the divine power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is vital to our walk with God, to the success of our walk, to the end of our life. We need the power and the work of the Holy Spirit to be continually in our lives. And we need to know the voice of the Spirit. We need to understand the leadings of the Holy Spirit. But Jesus said then in John, the 3rd chapter, verse 6, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. So as we look at the spirit of man now, it is spoken of the Spirit of God, which is the Holy Spirit. That's God's Spirit, which is holy. And the Holy Spirit of God simply calls for the spirit of man to also be holy. He said, be ye holy, even as I am holy. So we should be aware that the standard of our lives, the beliefs, the convictions should be centered upon the fact that God is a holy God. His spirit is holy, and he's calling for his people to also be holy. I want to speak about the parts of man. Man has a physical body. We have an eternal soul, and we also have a spirit. Now, some of the scriptures link the soul and the spirit as being one thing, one element. And then we have other scriptures that indicate that there is a distinction between the two. As a matter of fact, we brought that out in the scripture in Hebrews, that the spirit divides the soul and the spirit. It determines the difference between the soul and the spirit, and it gives that distinction between the two. 1 Thessalonians 5:23, and it says, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, wholly, completely. And it says, and I pray God that your whole spirit and soul and body. So now we have a scripture that defines a man as having three parts, same as the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, that each one played a part in the plan of God, God being the head, Christ being the Word, the Spirit having the work of God, performing the works of God. So he's saying here that I pray God your whole spirit and your whole soul and your whole body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So as we consider man and first of all, the body being the physical part of our humanity, our body would not be alive without the soul of man. God created the body out of the dust of the earth. He formed man, and then he breathed in his nostrils the breath of life, and he became a living soul. When the soul departs from the body, that is when an individual will die in the body. The body then has to be taken care of. It has to be placed in a grave. And so that's the end of the body. But it's not the end of the soul. And it's not necessarily the end of the spirit. The spirit can still be alive. It can, certain scriptures connect them both, the soul and the spirit together. But I will say that the spirit of man can determine the destiny of the soul. And I want to try to bring some of that out this morning. We have in our physical body, we have God created us with a heart that pumps the blood through the body, keeps the body functioning alive. But it is when the soul departs, the heart stops and the body becomes dead. So where the soul and the spirit, that they are the spiritual part of man, we do not necessarily see them with our physical eyes. We see our physical body, but we do not see our spirit. We may see the result of our spirit. We can see the result of the choices that are made in our spirit. We can see the result of the soul and the choices of who our soul is worshiping. But the spirit of man is simply this. It is the functioning part of man, just as the Holy Spirit was the functioning part of God and Jesus Christ, doing the commands of whatever their commands were. But the spirit of man could be considered like your intellect or your emotions, fears, passions, awareness, understanding, judgment, and reasoning powers. It can also be considered like in your choices or the desires that you might have with your affections. So a scripture that I want to give you in Proverbs 23 and 26, it says, "My son, give me thine heart and let thine eyes observe my ways." So we could read this and insert the word spirit, and it wouldn't take away from the meaning of this passage. Our heart has a lot to do with our spirit. Our heart is part of our affections, our desires, our emotions, our reasoning powers. There's a close correlation between our spirit and our heart. Another scripture says, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." And so we understand And oftentimes it is by the teachings, by the preached word, as we grow up, the teachings of our parents, the messages that we hear down through our life, we find that our heart is very important. What we allow in our heart, it will affect our spirits. Our spirits then can affect our soul. So the spirit of man can determine our destiny. Another scripture in Proverbs 16:32, it says, "He that ruleth his spirit is better than he that taketh a city." So we have an introduction here of what the word of the Lord indicates, that you and I can rule our own spirit. We can have control of our own spirit. There's a fine line that is between grace, power from God, and me having self-control. You believe that God has scriptures that indicate that you and I have the power in ourselves to make the choices. Certainly, the word of the Lord does indicate that you and I are free will beings, and he designed for it to be that way. He did not ever intend for man to be forced into serving him. He wanted free will service. Proverbs 25:28 goes along with that last scripture that says, only it's the opposite. He that ruleth his spirit is better than a city, that is, than he that taketh a city. Now, Proverbs 25:28, it says, he that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls, no protection. So God does give you and me the liberty to rule our spirit or to not rule our spirit. The working of the Holy Spirit is available, and it's offered. It's the plan of God. We can choose to allow the Holy Spirit to work in us and to rule us and to give us power to rule our own spirit. It can help the will of man to make the choices that will determine where my soul will end in eternity. And we're very familiar. I don't know how many times we have quoted the scripture over and over down through the ages of time, that he sets before us this day life and death. And he says, he tells us what to choose, but then we have the power to choose. We can choose life or we can choose death. So want to speak just a little bit about self-control. This word almost sounds like I am independent of the Spirit of God, but in reality, I can choose the Spirit of God, or I can choose to serve my flesh. I can choose to serve the enemy of my soul. I can choose to go my way. I cannot think. I heard it just recently. Maybe on a message. I believe it was a message I was listening to this week. And there was, I don't know what songwriter wrote it and even made it popular in the world, but the song was written, "I Did It My Way." I don't even know all the words to the song, probably heard it at some time, but the very title of that song tells what choices that person made. They did it their way. And You and I have the ability and the power to choose to live our own way. We can take our own way. I have some scriptures that indicate that you and I we can have control of ourselves. There's a scripture that says, "He shall separate himself from," and you could put anything in there, but the scripture is talking about strong drink and wine and such as things like that, speaking about a man that would separate himself. It was in the power of his own hands to choose to separate or to not. He can take part in the drink, or he can take part in the separation and distancing himself from those kind of things. There's another scripture that speaks about Daniel. Daniel purposed in his heart to not defile himself with the king's meat. That was his purpose. He chose that. He had control over his actions. Nobody took him and forced him to open his mouth and eat of the king's meat. He chose not to do it. That is partly what self-control is. I'm governing my choices. Nobody is forcing me to give in or to partake or to do anything that I don't choose to do. I'm thinking about a person that would steal, a thief. Nobody forces a thief to take something that doesn't belong to him. Nobody takes their hand and reaches it out and forces them to take something. A thief is a thief because he chooses to be a thief. It's his spirit. He has a spirit of stealing, if you want to put it that way. Another scripture says, "If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man and able to bridle the whole body." So that tells me that God has given me the liberty. I can bridle my body, or I can not bridle it. I cannot control it. But God gives us the ability to control even the words that come out of our mouth. That's how this scripture starts out: offending or not offending in word, then we are like a perfect man. How often have we spoken without thinking? Some people say, "I opened my mouth and stuck my foot in." That's just a phrase that indicates somebody didn't control the words of their mouth. And they spoke before they thought. But God wants you and me to be slow to speak. It also tells us to be slow to anger. Don't allow the anger to control us. Let's control the anger. Let's run to the Father. "Lord, help me with this right now. Calm my spirit. This is how I will be able to bridle my whole body." So another scripture says, "Let not sin reign in your mortal body." That's a choice. I can control my body by refusing to yield to sin, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. So let not sin reign. Let it not control me. Let me control my mortal body, that I should not obey, not be tempted and yield to the temptation, recognizing the temptation and recognizing the danger of the temptation, where it will lead. The Lord has been dealing with my heart a little bit about where things lead us to. We have a song that says, sin will take you farther than you want to go, and it will keep you longer than you want to stay. But we don't have to give in to the temptations of the flesh, to sin against our mortal body. See, my temptations, my spirit, not resisting the temptation, it will affect my body and it will affect my soul. So the power of the Holy Spirit is well sufficient to keep you and me from falling. So I have a final question. Who is the choice of your master? The scripture says that you and I can only serve one master. If we're seesawing back and forth, if we're giving in to the flesh, and then we're trying to yield to the Spirit of God, there will be such a war going on in our minds. And God has a better plan than that. He has a plan that will give you and me the peace of God that passeth understanding. He will give us the power and the understanding how to resist the enemy and his temptations and not have him be my master. But I can have God, and Jesus Christ can be my master, and I can serve him, and he will be there to help me, that I will have that self-control. I will have a spirit of controlling my body, that it yield not to the lust of the flesh.